Welcome to Overtures. This month's guests, starting with this episode, are a great group of artists who I was very close with, but for some reason or another, be it school, end of camp, I haven't caught up with in forever. So I hope you enjoy this first February episode of 2023. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats and we'll be starting shortly. Everyone, happy Sunday, happy February. Can you believe it's already February? I think that's crazy. I think it's always crazy when the beginning of the year goes by so quickly and it happens every single year, and yet I am still surprised every single time, but that's okay. We're here and we're here with a new episode of Overtures, so that's the exciting thing. I don't really have any housekeeping today. Later on today, I'm going to be going to see the Office parody musical off-Broadway. So I'm stoked. I have a friend in it, so it's going to be a blast. But I'll tell you about how that show was next episode. But for now, let's go ahead and get started. So this is episode 57 of Overtures. Can you believe we're already up there, too? That's also crazy. And I'm going to be starting with a clip. So here we go. Such a gorgeous little clip. So beautiful. So beautiful. So my guest today is an actor and singer based out of New Jersey and a recent graduate, getting over my words today, a recent graduate of Wagner College. Since graduating, she has completed an apprenticeship at the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey and worked on Main Street USA with the Disney College program. She's beyond excited to be working with the cast and creative team of Alalyra for its upcoming off-Broadway debut as their stage manager. Although my senior year of college was her first year of college, I was lucky enough to work with her twice as she began her college career and as I ended mine. So without further ado, this is Claire Dempsey.
Hello.
Hi. I'm so stoked to finally have you on here.
I know. I'm so happy to be able to actually like catching up with you too, because I haven't been able to see you.
I know. That's what's so nice about these episodes is that I actually get to sit down and have an hour to like go in depth and be like, where have you been? What's up? What's happening? Cause I feel like you don't get that very often. You'll run into someone or like send a text and you never get the full story. So I'm very excited to be here and chatting with you today. And as many people might have guessed, we know each other from Wagner College.
Crazy.
I will say I think it's incredibly funny that the two shows we work together are arguably like the most British plays we could have ever worked on together. Yeah. We did The Importance of Being Earnest as well as Pygmalion. I was your assistant director when you played Lady Bracknell in The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yes.
Such a wonderful little show.
It's really funny to me, like looking back on it. It's like, I really thought I was like going somewhere with that. I was like, I'm getting in like the old lady lane. Like that's my niche at this school. Because I did two old lady parts my freshman year. And I was like, you know, I was, especially for Importance of Being Earnest, I was so scared. I was like, oh my God, these upperclassmen, like they're all so like talented and I'm supposed to be playing like somebody's grandmother. Like, what am I going to do? And then I get in there and everybody's so sweet.
But here's the thing. Not only was your British accent probably the strongest, but goddamn, you were hysterical. Your pacing as Lady Bracknell was like comedically fantastic. It was perfect for Oscar Wilde. Just like absolute chef's kiss. Like, oh, it was so good. And how, like, I'm so curious, what was that experience for you to be working on that show as a freshman, as like your first show at Wagner, and everyone else, like there was no other freshman who worked on that show.
Correct. Yeah, I was definitely intimidated when I first got there, but like everybody was so sweet, and Austin is an amazing director. Like I truly would love to work with him again, because it's just like he went so in depth with all the like mannerisms and stuff, and anything that I felt like I didn't have a good like clue into, he would sort of already have it ready. He was like, "Oh yeah, no, we're doing a little tea together so that we can all learn how to hold saucer and do all the stuff." I was like, okay, great. That's awesome.
Yes.
Like, I just felt so like taken care of in that show. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Like I would say Austin is such a good like dramaturg as well as director. And he brings that kind of knowledge into the room as a director, which again, like you were saying, it makes the actor feel so much more comfortable and taken care of. Cause you're like, okay, cool. We actually know what we're doing. Great. Love that.
Yes. And that was also like when I met all of you, obviously, because I was brand new to the school, but like
literally,
I met Lila.
Like, I was like first 3 weeks of college.
And I'm like, okay, time to be someone's grandma, I guess.
Let me learn Oscar Wilde in 3 weeks.
Okay.
Absolutely crazy. But it, like I said, such a fun show. And then of course, the end of your freshman year, we worked on Pygmalion together. I was Eliza Doolittle to your Mrs. Higgins. And I just have to say, I felt so incredibly lucky to have you as my Mrs. Higgins in that show. Because like you kept me saying, because we got through with such a long, crazy tech of that show.
Yes.
But be able to end that show with you, because the end of the show is like a strong ladies being like, F you, Professor Higgins. being like, no, you can carry your own slippers, you idiot. It was so wonderful to be able to end that show together with two such strong female characters.
It was really wonderful working with you on that one, because like just watching you like go through the journey of that show was just really awesome to watch, like especially at the end, like being up there with you and being like, you can take care of this, I'm gonna go now, like okay,
yeah, oh, so special. And thank you. That means so much to me. So I guess going back to the beginning of things for you, Claire, how did you first get started in theater?
So I was thinking about this. I truly don't remember. I think like the first show I ever did was in like elementary school. It was Once Upon a Mattress. But
so good.
The first show that I like really remember doing was Seussical at the same school. And it was very funny. I was one of the Who's. My brother was the Cat in the Hat. And I was devastated. Oh my God. Like, I'm 2 years younger than him, but I was like, oh my God, no, I wanted to be like a bird girl or something at least. Like, and I remember like we got like little letters with like what our role was, and we were sat at like a friendlies, and my brother opens his and he's like, oh my God, I'm the Cat in the Hat. And I was like, I'm a Who, no. And I was like crying in this friendlies.
Oh my God.
Really funny. But yeah.
I so, love that. Humble beginnings.
Yeah, truly.
So then I'm curious then, after that disappointment of only getting to play Who in Seussical, what was that overture moment for you realizing, oh, like this isn't just a thing that I do with my brother, but something that I want to pursue like for a career?
So like, I truly don't remember a time when it wasn't like my thing. Like I was sort of going through life under the assumption that this is what I was gonna do, and then I reached like sophomore year of high school and I was like, crap, like I have to actually think about this now. Like it's not just like, oh, this is what I'm doing, this is the assumption, this is what I'm like going to go do. I was like, oh, I need to actually have a reality check with myself,
right?
And so I was lucky enough to be able to go on this 3-week trip with Performing Arts Abroad, and I went to London, and I was like, okay, if I can do this, because it's like basically 9-to-4 classes, like master classes, improv classes, like dance, all this kind of stuff. And then we had like shows scheduled to go to in the evenings. And then also me and my friends would go see shows like on our own. And I was like, okay, if I can do that and I'm not sick of it, then I know I can like withstand it, like actually going to school for it. And I did the most. I was like, I want more. I got there and I was like, I'm doing absolutely everything. Cause also the tickets were so cheap. So yes. I saw like 15 shows while I was there. I like would go every single night. I would be like waking up the crack of dawn to go to class. And then I would like get tickets on my lunch break, and then I would go back to class and then go see it in the evening. And like, that was my life for 3 weeks. I would just be like living, breathing, eating, sleeping theater. I was like, I want it.
And by the end of it, you were like, wow, I actually want more still. I'm not tired. Yeah. I want more.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely how you know. That's definitely how you know. So then it's fun because then obviously you had an entire career at Wagner after I graduated.
Yes.
And I would love to hear about some various highlights like through your sophomore and senior year, be it like a class or a show. Obviously, we got to see that clip from Little Women at the top of the episode. So I'd love to hear about some things you did.
Yes. I was very happy. I got to round it out with like 10 shows.
That's awesome.
So I'm trying to think. I mean, I will say like sophomore, junior year was obviously crazy town because
of course the pandemic.
Yes. But before the pandemic hit in the fall of my sophomore year, I got to do She Loves Me, which is my favorite show. Yes. So I was just very happy to be able to do that.
I was so happy that you got to be in She Loves Me because I know you and I both share such an affinity for that show.
It's so special. I love it. I loved doing Into the Woods. I was Rapunzel, which I was like taken aback when that cast list came out. I was like, somebody like sees me as like the little frail little princess. I was like, I can do that. That's crazy. But the other thing that was fun about that is not to toot my own horn, but I did take most of the score up the octave just because,
Please tell me you have clips of this.
I don't, and I'm so mad about it.
No. Oh, that makes me so sad. But continue.
It's really devastating. It's the one show that nobody bootlegged. But it was very fun for me to be able to like have my moment and do that and like talk to people afterwards and have professors come up to me and be like, what?
You really got to like put your stamp on it and make it your own, which is so fun. It's so undeniably cool when you're like, I've done something that's actually original with a role that other people have done.
Yes. And then, I mean, this is just a little side note, but the hair was in fact 18 pounds and 15 feet long. So
oh my God,
I got quite the workout with that show.
Yeah. I'm like at that rate, like I'm also trying to figure out, like, is that just like hurting your neck? Like, do you care? Like, would you carry? How does that work? Wow.
I started going to the gym and just doing like back and upper neck stuff for that show because I was nervous.
Yeah.
One of the costume assistants, Hannah Saptan, I don't know if you know them, but
that name's not familiar. Okay.
Very sweet friend of mine. They were basically like assigned to me for quick changes and stuff. And I was like, hey, you're not doing anything during these scenes. Do you mind just helping me carry my hair up the stairs? Because I would have to go like, you know, from the basement up to the actual theater and then up to the rafters where my entrance was.
Oh,
and so
gosh.
We would like, the two of us would sit up there holding this massive pile of like, it was a mix of like straw and yarn and actual hair. And then there was like a chain holding it all together, which is what made it so heavy. But it looked stunning.
Yeah.
Because it looked like something right out of like a fairy tale book, which is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
But the two of us would just be sitting up there with the massive hair and like listening to Agony and doing our own little bits in the wings. It was really fun.
I love that so much. And that also, like, now that you say, I'm like, of course it has a chain in it. That makes sense. It holds everything together. It makes it look like hair that has weight to it. That makes sense. But I'm also like, God, that is like a lot to like have to wear as an actor. Like that's so heavy. Like that's mind boggling to me. That's crazy. But I'm so sad that I didn't get to see that. I wish there was a bootleg. That makes me upset.
Also just like working with Katie Sheely specifically, because obviously her and I worked really close together on that because she was the witch. Yeah. I was like, I mean, there were moments where I was genuinely like, oh my God, I'm scared of her. Like she's incredible.
I'm sure
her
witch was like terrifying.
It really was. And like, I remember the first time we did it like in full costume when she was like throwing me down. I was like genuinely a little scared. I was like, oh my God, like this is powerful stuff.
And then, of course, you worked on Little Women, and you sounded stunning in that clip. Mm-hmm. And I know that was your last show, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was very special for me. I also I got to costume that show as well.
Oh, that's so awesome.
So I was like a little nervous going into it because I was like, you know, doing double duty, and the costumes for that show are absolutely brutal because it's like every time somebody leaves stage and then they come back, it's a time jump. So there has to be some indication that time has passed. So genuinely, every time somebody would leave stage, at least one costume piece would change.
Right. And of course, like it's in a period too. So, like, time jumps within period costumes. It's like, and also, it was a student-run production.
Yes.
So, it's not like you could just, like, oh, let me just go through like the whole closets of costumes. Like, that must have been crazy to try and shop for those costumes.
Well, the reason they asked me to do it is because A, they know that I have like an affinity for like period costumes and I love that stuff. And also my mom, her like retirement job is she volunteers at a costume barn here in New Jersey,
Oh, I love that.
with Trilogy Repertory, which I've worked with that theater, and that's how she got started like going and hanging out with them. And so I got to basically like pillage the racks and like just go in and like take all the stuff I wanted for like a very small budget, because they knew like, you know, student run theater obviously, and also it's Claire. We've worked with her before. We know she's going to return the stuff in good condition. So that was really awesome that I got to like go do that.
Yeah,
So I
and
was
that's
like,
very
yeah, like
special
this.
because, like, I even thinking back to like both Ernest and Pygmalion, I'm like, I don't know how we did those costumes. Like, that was so tough. That was so tough.
Because we
Like,
were
trying to
pulling
do.
out of our closets for that.
Oh, yeah. And like, some people happen to have stuff at home. Like, Emily Lagasse's like mom or something happened to have some of those like little tiny dresses for like Emily and Ernest. But like, even then, that was so difficult. So that's
Yeah.
awesome that you had that opportunity to work with a theater that you'd worked with before and be like, hey, let us help you and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like also just working on the show itself, it was a little bit tough because I was dealing with some health issues at the time, which I know we're going to talk about in a little bit. But it like was so special, especially because Meg is a role that I relate to a lot. Like we were sort of going through and saying like who in the cast was actually be which sister, and it kind of lined up for me a lot, just because I'm like, you know, she's a romantic and she's very like, I don't know. She likes to take care of people, and like obviously the vocal range was something I was super comfortable with, and I was just like very happy to be doing that.
Yeah, and she's also very practical too. Like, she's this romantic, but she's always making sure, okay, but like, we need to get these things like figured out. And yeah, she's a wonderful character, and it's so awesome that you got to play her. So then going, so you did the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey's apprenticeship. When did you
Yes.
do this, and how did you become a part of it?
So I had done their like senior core program my senior year of high school, like just over the summer, and it's like they put on a little mini version of a show. We did Winter's Tale, and like so I was sort of on the radar for like stuff that they were working on, and then I realized that they had this apprenticeship program, and I applied, and I wanted it so bad because I literally live like down the street from their amphitheater, and I grew up going to go see their shows, and like that was like the pinnacle of Shakespeare for me, and I am a Shakespeare girly through and through. I love it. And I remember I got the call that I like got in the program, and they accepted like 10 people total. And I was in a voice lesson with Amy Williams, and I saw the like area of like the area code, and I was like, I'm gonna pick this up. And I do. And like she's like, hey, just want to let you know we want you to come in for this. And I was like, oh, that's so exciting. And I just start crying in my voice lesson. I'm like, ah. It was very fun. But the way that worked was we got some like little master classes here and there, but most of what we were doing was working on the summer show. Like we were in their summer season, which was Much Ado About Nothing, which is my favorite
Oh,
Shakespeare play.
that's a good one. Oh my gosh.
So I was just kind of in like a general ensemble for that show, which we had kind of a 1800 like era to it, and so we had like a Carnivale. Like that was the where we were setting it. So I was one of the little like carnival girlies, and I was like sticking my leg up above my head and doing all this stuff. I was juggling. But then one of the actresses came down with COVID, and they asked me to go on for her for our week of tech and previews, which was, I had a week turnaround, and it was crazy, but it was so rewarding to be able to do that.
Yeah. And what role did you have to end up going on for?
It was Margaret. So it's not a huge role, but it was enough that I was like,
that's still at least like set lots of lines of dialogue to be like, okay, let me get this down ASAP.
Yes. And like there was dialogue over a dance. Like they would be dancing and then have dialogue mid scene. So that was the part I was most worried about, was getting the timing of everything in that, because I was in the dance sequence already, but
that's a different track.
It's a different track, and like being like two groups off, because we would like sort of swirl around each other and then like stop for a minute when certain people would talk, and then we would swirl around for a minute, and like
you never got to watch it because you were doing other things.
Exactly.
Yeah. And this was correct me if I'm wrong, the summer after you graduated, Wagner?
Yes. This was this past summer.
Gotcha. And so did you get to do like, obviously you were in Much Ado About Nothing. You said there was little like classes and things throughout. Were they like all Shakespeare pertaining?
Yes. It was all Shakespeare classes. We had some master classes actually from people in the show, which was wonderful.
That's cool.
Our hero actually like ran a class for us, and it was phenomenal. I was like, I honestly, over the course of like just doing that apprenticeship, I felt like I had earned a whole nother degree. I was like, I feel like so much more prepared for everything, just having talked to these people and like getting this information and doing this show. Cause we ran for a month. Like it was a long run.
Yeah.
For me at least, like having just done like, you know, college shows and
like two weekends. And stuff
like
that.
Yeah. We also did a little, like they also had different interns like in different departments. So there was a directing intern named Jake who put together a couple of scenes for us, and we did a like apprentice evening basically. And so I got to be in a couple scenes. I did one from Romeo and Juliet, one from Troilus and Cressida, and one from All's Well That Ends Well. So that was also really fun to get like, you know, the performance experience of being in this show and then also doing another little something on the side to just kind of keep myself sharp and, you know, work on new material.
Yeah, it wasn't just a contract. You truly were continuing that education while getting to perform at night. And that's so awesome. And it was so cool to see former Wagner alum and also Overtures episode Danielle Allen comment. She's like, yay, another like apprentice. Like, so she had also done it. So it's cool to get to talk to someone else about it.
I love it.
And then you also just finished the Disney College program. So I'm assuming that happened then like right after the Shakespeare apprenticeship.
I felt like I was pulling a hard left with that. I was just like, okay, I'm like in the world of Shakespeare. I'm all like, you know, prim and proper. Then I'm like, I'm going to go work at Disney. Bye.
Yeah. That was incredible. Were you like in the middle of applying to that, like while you were at the apprenticeship, or was that something you had applied to like at Wagner, but knew it wasn't going to come up until later?
I had applied like winter break my senior year, completely on a whim. Yeah. Like I was not expecting anything to come of it. Also, like I didn't realize they had truncated their interview process because of COVID. Like I didn't have a phone interview or anything. Like they've just reinstated it, so it's going to be a thing now. But I basically just did the preliminary applications like in my basement when they popped up on my computer. I was like, oh, I'll do this now. And then they called me in like February and were like, congratulations, you got in. I was like, I did.
I
wasn't gonna do it because I thought I had something else lined up that didn't end up pulling through, but my parents were just like, look, if they haven't reached out to you by now, this other thing, then just do it. Like there's no harm in just signing up and doing it, because I was nervous about like, you know, leaving the city and like doing all this stuff. But it was like the best decision I could have made for myself, going and doing that. It was so great.
Had you always thought that you were gonna, or knew, had you always known that you were gonna apply for the program? Because I feel like a lot of people, like when they're in college, they're like, I will be doing the Disney College program.
Yeah, I did want to do it. Just because like it's always been something in the back of my mind, like especially like if I any connections to entertainment down there mm-hmm. that I could get would be great. And like just having the experience of having done it, you know?
Yeah.
Like even if it wasn't a job that I necessarily wanted to have. Which right. I do have a story about that. I narrowly escaped a job that I really would not have done well in, I think.
Well, I would love to hear that first, because I was about to ask about working at Main Street USA. But if there was something you narrowly escaped, I'd love to hear that first if you're willing to talk about it.
Well, because I am not a sports girly, if you may have guessed. And originally, my placement was at ESPN Sports.
Ooh.
And
that's in Disney?
Yes, that is part of Disney.
And I didn't know ESPN was in Disney.
What was confusing to me was that it was like under the attractions designation. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be working on a ride. That's great. And then they said ESPN and I was like, hello? Okay. But I guess if you're operations, that's the same thing with Main Street GFT is like I was technically an attraction. But yeah, it was like, you know. Glorified parade control.
Yeah.
They called me because I have like a food allergy and I put that in the system so that I wouldn't be working in quick service because I wasn't comfortable like handling those foods.
Right.
And they were like, hey, I just want to ask like if it's possible for you to be near whatever you're allergic to. And I was like, yeah, no, that's fine. And they were like, do you have any other questions? And I was like, do you have any other positions available? Because I heard something, there was something being thrown around about possibly being able to audition once you got down there. And I was like, do you know anything about that? And they were like, no, we're not starting that up just yet. I can look around for other placements for you though. And I was like, please do that. And he was like, do you want to work on Main Street? I was like, yes, I want to work on Main Street. So that's how I ended up there.
Hey, never hurts to ask. So
It never hurts to ask.
I love that. And of course, apologies. I have never been to Disney World, just Disneyland. So Main Street USA, that's where like there's tons of shops and obviously like the parades and such and where the fireworks happen, right?
Yes.
Amazing. Amazing. What was it like to be based there and have to like work in and around that?
It was really fun. I really think I lucked out with my placement because there is a certain level of freedom that you get working there because, I have a dog now. Hello. You obviously like have your positions for parades and fireworks, but in the kind of in-between time, you're kind of just stationed to be like the friendly face on Main Street. Like you talk to guests, you answer questions. Sometimes if we have like a lot of downtime, they'll do the little like tape fun box and like, you know, have people jump in and out and like clap for them and all this kind of stuff. Hi, use it, please.
furry visitor.
Yes, we do. But I got there, I think, at the perfect time because I got there at the height of like party season. So they have the Halloween party and the Christmas party. So because I'm a CP, they put me on a lot of evening shifts just because, you know, the daytime people are mostly full time who've like bid for that and all that. So I got to have like half my time basically be at the Christmas and Halloween parties, which I loved. Like that was my favorite part of the job because I would get to do like the parade positions that normally go to the daytime people, but we do them at night for the Christmas and Halloween show, which were phenomenal, by the way. I loved watching those every night. And then on the off nights, we would have the fireworks. So I really was doing something different every day during that whole season.
Yeah, that sounds like that's so much more fun because like it literally is something different that you can work on every day. And it's not like, okay, I'm doing the same thing over and over, especially in like the holiday season. Like there's so much different variations of program and things like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious because like I feel like I don't know much about the Disney College program. So you were saying that you do the shifts like at night because you're a part of the program. What are you guys doing like during the day? I guess it depends on like what track you're in and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I mean, there are definitely people who get scheduled the mornings. It obviously depends on what operation you're in.
Right.
Like people in like food and beverage were much more likely to get morning shifts than we were. But just because of like our operation was such like a singular thing. It's like we were Main Street operations, like that's it. And like that was very much divided into like the daytime full-time people and then the part-time and the college programs who would get scheduled with fireworks, because a lot of the daytime people were like, I did my time with fireworks, I do not need to do that again.
That's fair.
Because it is really a hoot and a half sometimes, especially with the traffic flow and everything.
Yeah, people wrangling, that kind of thing. And so it's great because we have a little Instagram question from someone we are both familiar with. The lovely Liam Abate had the Wonderful. Question, what's one surprising thing you've learned while being at Disney College Program?
Surprising thing? I'm trying to think. I've learned a lot about, like, obviously the parks themselves and, like, yeah. little inside things. I think just like learning all the ins and outs of like how like traffic flow works, I guess, was like kind of surprising to me, because it's like we would get like, you know, a map for the fireworks, and you would have, first of all, take a wild guess how many people it takes to run fireworks on just a standard evening.
Oh gosh. I mean, in terms of like just organizing,
just crowd control.
Yeah, just crowd control. I could imagine, I mean, granted, like, I haven't been there, so this is going to be a wild guess. Like, I would say maybe, like, around, like, 50 people, like, just to make sure people are in the right places and stuff.
There are 83 positions, and some of them are doubled.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So it takes upwards
just
of 100
people.
Just
to do fireworks.
Yes, just for fireworks.
Oh, my God.
Because people will line up at, like, 6 p.m. and fireworks aren't till 8:15, and they'll just sit there and
right.
you're like, this is my spot and I am working for it. I'm like, yes, you do that.
which is funny to me, because I'm like, well, you're wasting your time not going on rides or like eating food, but also like everyone's gonna see the fireworks, like you're not gonna miss it, I promise.
Yes, it's just there are like a projection show that goes with it. So it's like some people like really want to see the production show. And like, I understand like sitting there, especially if you've like had a full day and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to grab my dinner.
I'm
just
going to sit
right here. And then I'm going to have my spot, which is better than like, you know, having people run up at the last second and you're like trying to fill your area. You're like, okay, fine. Just come here.
What you were saying though, crowd control really is an art. Like, I've gotten to talk to like a few people who have like worked at Disney before and then have like translated that to like crowd control at like conventions and things like that. It really is an art of making it work and making things condensed and not confusing.
Yes. There's a lot of like interpersonal stuff that you have to sort of be well versed in to be able to do that kind of stuff. So I definitely learned a lot just talking to people in that job and like figuring out how to like de-escalate certain situations, because it would get a little crazy, especially I actually worked New Year's Eve, so that was wild, especially because there was a DJ running the whole time, so we were trying to like usher while the DJ was going, and so we were just like shouting over this DJ. There's like strobe lights absolutely everywhere, like they had added extra lights like throughout the entirety of Main Street, and they were just constantly going, please stand up. Like, we didn't even talk at that point. We were just like,
because no one can hear you. Yeah, just like all gestural communication. Because otherwise, also, you don't want to hurt your voice. No one's going to hear you at that rate. Like, oh my God.
I will say that is the one thing. My theater degree did pay off because I was loud. I was nice and loud.
Yeah, that's one thing. You're like, look, I know how to project if nothing else. So
Exactly. They like to put me on the turtle box every once in a while, which is like the little microphone we would get. And I would just be like absolutely talking from nowhere. I would just start saying words.
And everyone was like, you have fun doing that. And you're like, great, I will. Thanks.
I will have so much fun.
And obviously one big thing that I know we wanted to talk about as a part of this episode has been your personal experience with having COVID and its long-term effects, but also how that's impacted your experience in the theater industry and learning how to navigate accommodations.
Yes. So I got COVID January of last year, and like I had been dealing with stuff beforehand, but like I had just gotten that under control. And then those same symptoms started showing up like a month after I had COVID. And I was like, I thought I got this under control because it was a dietary thing. And I like had just figured that out. And I was like, okay, great. That's something I can handle. And then starting in about February, I was like, okay, this is no longer a dietary thing. Why is this happening? And it took a while for me to realize that it was like post-COVID related. Because my symptoms did start to like morph a little bit, but basically what would happen, and I was just be like very dizzy, like constantly tired. And then it got to the point where I would start to like actually fall over and like not be able to like go about my day. And obviously like being a senior in college, I was really kind of struggling with that. Hello, puppy. Oh my gosh. and I did On the 20th Century and Little Women while like having this issue. It was much more of a thing during Little Women, I think, just because of like how it progressed. But there's one moment I remember during On the 20th Century where I looked, it's kind of funny to me now, but I looked at Val, who was my dance partner. Like we were on the turntable and it was about to like spin to reveal like us. And we were like in a party scene. It was supposed to be like a posh party scene. So we're like the turntable was going to turn and then we were all going to be like, oh, ha, ha, ha. Like that's how the scene starts.
Yeah.
And I turn to him and I just go, Val, I'm really dizzy. And he goes, what? And then the turntable starts to go. And we all go, ha, 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 ha. It's just the most perfect timing for that, for me to have said that. But I was sort of navigating like how much I actually should and could push through in terms of like performance and stuff like that. And I realized that like I could do a fair amount of pushing through if I was in like, you know, if I was mid-scene, I wasn't going to fall over because I knew how to navigate that. But especially during Little Women, I was, you know, trying to figure out how to not like be, I guess like not be like a problem, but like, you know what I mean? Like not be, put a damper on the show and put a damper on everybody else's progress. So I ended up working something out with the director and with my like understudy who was one of the swings. And I was just like, hey, if I'm having like a really bad night, can I have her go on for rehearsal? I'll still sit there and I'll take notes and I'll watch. But like, if I can't stand up and do this, I can't stand up and do this. Like there's no getting around that. And there was also something I was definitely dealing with at Shakespeare Theater and really, really dealing with on Main Street recently. You know, we are closer to having like actual answers and like get working toward a system that is going to work for me long term. But I think especially since like, you know, a lot of people in the theater community have had COVID. And so it's not unthinkable that a lot of actors are having this problem right now. And like you need to be able to like advocate for yourself and know that like just because you have some limitations, it doesn't mean that you're not capable of performing in the same way. Like you can still tell a story. You can still be a performer. You just have to know your own limits a little bit more. But yeah, it was definitely, it's been a journey. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, especially when you're dealing with something that could literally stop you mid scene or like, stop in the middle of a show where you're like, I quite truly cannot complete this for my own health. Like it's something that you have to be able to like bring up to people. And I know one thing that when we were like emailing a bit about wanting to talk about this, we were saying about like learning to learning how to ask for accommodations without feeling like you're coming off as quote unquote hard to work with or coming off as less than capable, which I will want to, I do want to put this out there right now. These are impressions that exist because we live in an ableist society. So we shouldn't have to worry about these things. But what was that journey like for you wanting to make these accommodations, but also trying to deal with that part of your brain that's being like, I don't know, because blah, 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 you know?
I mean, I still am working on that because I am very stubborn. I do not like to give up on anything. And so for Little Women in particular, I like would just kind of like go and sit in between scenes. Like that was my thing I would do like for me. I would like have this high adrenaline moment, and then I would go sit and I would just kind of like relax and fold into myself a little bit more. And I definitely had to start making a few more like actual accommodations once I was working on Main Street, just because it can be a high stress environment because, yeah, you know, you're dealing with guests. They're not always happy. Sometimes they can be a little loud and a little in your face. And obviously, you know, there's fireworks going on in the background. So there's a lot happening.
And you're constantly on your feet. Like
exactly. And your system can get a little overloaded. And I worked closely with like some of my coordinators, especially. And I would tell them, you know, like, this is sort of the process of what I've been going through. And if I was having a bad day, I would tell them like, hey, this is my position for tonight. I'm not comfortable with this position because I feel like I might have to leave mid fireworks. So if you could put me somewhere where I'm going to be less like of a key position, like if they would put me somewhere, for instance, on a microphone, I might say like, you might not want to put me there tonight just because I'm not really feeling up to it. But it did not mean I was any less good at my job. I knew when I had to step away. And I will be honest, there's some nights I didn't know when I had to step away. Yeah. Because I did have, over the course of those months, I had 4 ambulances called on me and 1 hospitalization. Because, part of it is just that they did have to, you know, call an ambulance. Like, if somebody's unresponsive, you have to call an ambulance. Like, that's just kind of how it is. You know, having had those experiences, I know a little bit better now what my actual limitations are. And like I said, since that's happened, I've like started working towards a system that is actually making it better and making the day-to-day a lot easier. So yeah, I'm working back towards getting like my full energy levels and my actual abilities back.
So I'm curious, what advice might you have from what you've learned thus far to some who are perhaps on a similar journey, finding it difficult to speak up for themselves, or they don't know what kind of accommodations to ask for?
I think just letting people know like what your symptoms and triggers are is really important, because you can always like say that you don't need help in general until you're in a situation where you do need help and then you don't know what to do. So if you just say like, hey, this is something that happens, but you don't necessarily have to say anything past that. And then if you're in a situation where like you find yourself not feeling well, then you can say, hey, remember that thing I told you about? That's happening now. And then from there, you can spark a conversation where somebody can ask like, oh, is there something I can do to help? Because you don't always want someone like constantly behind you saying like, oh, you told me to help you with this, can I help you with this? It's like, no, I'm still a capable individual. It's just that like some days are good days, some days are bad days. And so you know, having that conversation early on about just like what the symptoms and triggers are, and not putting down like the blanket rule of like, you're always going to need to help me with this, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's not going to be the same thing every time. So kind of having that plan and or freedom of being like, I sometimes face this symptom. It really will depend in the moment what we do, but at least, you know, this is something that I deal with symptom wise so that we can attack it together when the time comes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That I know makes it's kind of just like rambling, but
no, that's okay. No, that makes sense. And like having those kinds of, again, like accommodations and plans in mind. And I agree, knowing these things early on, I'm sure helps everyone feel at ease, because then you're like, okay, cool, we know ahead of time and we don't have to like freak out in the moment if we need something.
Yes.
Yeah, that 100% makes sense. Thank you so much for sharing your story about that and what you've been dealing with that, because I think it's incredibly important to talk about, because like you were saying, I'm sure there are so many actors who are dealing with it and trying to navigate, especially if there's someone who hasn't been dealing with medical issues before and don't know how to go about that journey, that I'm sure that hearing your story must have been very helpful. So thank you for talking about it with us. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah.
I think, the other big thing I did forget to say is like,
oh yeah,
you can't do everything. And like, nobody can do everything. So yeah. You need to have a little bit of grace with yourself when there's like certain things that you, like if you need to take a day off, take the day off. Like it's not the absolute end of the world if you have to take a day off.
Yes, 100%, 100%. I feel like that applies in so many different scenarios. So I co-sign on that. And so then coming up, something that's coming up soon for you, you're going to be stage managing off Broadway, which is so exciting. Will this be your first big project, like as a stage manager? Did you get to do stage management work at all when you're at Wagner?
I did not. This was kind of out of left field for me.
Yeah.
I had worked with the writer before, and she was just having a conversation with my mom at the barn one day and was like, oh yeah, we're still looking for a stage manager and some backstage help. And I reached out and was like, hey, I heard you have a couple positions open. Like I would love to help any way I can. And then she reached back out and was like, all right, SM position's yours. And I went, okay.
you're like, I was thinking backstage, but sure.
I am ready, but I'm not ready. I will say that. I have, you know, done my research. I've looked into like, you know, the formatting of everything and like how
you have some paperwork templates.
Yes. And I'm like, I know how I want to attack this, but also we haven't gotten the ball rolling in terms of a lot of the communication stuff. Cause obviously it's a little far out. So, I'm excited to actually like, you know, get in a room and figure out what the vibes are a little bit and go from there. I'm definitely throwing myself in the deep end, but I think it'll be good for me. I think I'm ready.
I think you are. I think a combination of like having worked with on your apprenticeship, but also just knowing like how to corral people from Disney. I feel like somehow combined here, I think you're going to be golden. It's just going to be the paperwork being like, what all do I need to include? But I think you're going to do a great job. Is the show a play or a musical?
It is a musical. It's, sort of like a folktale, and I know a lot of the roles are going to be doubled, so somebody is going to be playing somebody who is in like a high status world and in a low status world. That's gonna be really fun to see. And also at least one of the actresses is blind, so that's also gonna be really fun, and you get some fun representation in there.
Absolutely. And then again, going back to like accommodations and things like that, your experience having gone through what you have so far, I'm sure will be incredibly helpful going into this process, because like, as like straight up, you know what it's like to have to make ask for accommodations yourself. So when others can ask you for accommodations, that's going to be so much easier for everyone.
Yes. I really hope I can, you know, come in and just like be on her side a little bit.
Yeah, so absolutely. That'll be so much fun. When and where will people be able to see the show?
So it's going to be at the Alvin Ailey in March. So I will definitely be posting information about it once it gets closer.
That's so exciting. Also, let me know. Keep me in the loop, that kind of thing, because March isn't that far off, and I would love to come see the show. Amazing. It's crazy. We got through things so quickly today that we're pretty much at the end of our episode. Where can people find you on social media and that kind of thing?
So my Instagram is Claire_E_Dempsey, and that's kind of where I put everything right now, because I'm not too far stretched out at the moment.
Amazing. Amazing. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura_Marjoram and my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show, as well as here on YouTube, Overtures Show. That's where we go live. So this is home base, but Instagram is where you can find all the amazing information. Also on Spotify and Apple Music. So go check out previous episodes on the go and that kind of thing. And then we also have a Ko-fi page. So if you feel so inclined to buy Overtures, a cup of coffee, that'll go towards the operating costs that I have for this production that I do here, and give me the chance to talk to more incredible artists like Claire. Do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
If anyone's going to Disney, be nice to cast members. They're doing their best.
Truly, especially in still a pandemic, they're doing their best. They've had long days. Please be nice. And with that, thank you so much for coming on here, Claire. And I hope everyone who's watching has an amazing day. But we'll see you later, everyone. Bye.